friends. This is Joe Franks. It's Thursday, March 3rd, and this is another edition of Unfathomable Grace, a weekly podcast we put together to encourage you to understand how much Jesus Christ loves you, and it should result in repentance, us running from Satan, us running from the flesh, us running from idols that never satisfy. Running back into the arms of our best possible friend, the one who gave his life for us and lives and intercedes for us and is coming again. He's so grand. He's so wise. Oh, how foolish we are. And the joy of repentance says, let's go back and see Jesus and remind ourselves of the best way of living life now and eternal life forever, following his wonderful counsel, resting in his unfathomable grace. In 1 Samuel 13, it's really a sad story. At this point, King Saul is tall, dark, and handsome. Really religious, really successful. He's the man. He's the king. God has been very kind to him. And we see that Israel is singing the praises of Saul and Jonathan, and the Philistines are very, very angry, for territory has been taken. But the Philistines aren't going to stop in their assault. They amass their forces, and all of a sudden, it looks really bad. It's similar to Russia and Ukraine right now, where one party is severely outnumbered. At this point, Saul and Jonathan have 3,000 men. The Philistines have 30,000 chariots. They have 6,000 horsemen and an undeterminable amount of ground forces, it says in the text, like the sand of the sea. At this point, Israel is running for their lives. It says that the people are hiding in caves and holes and rocks and cisterns, and some are just jumping over the river. Well, Saul had some previous arrangement. He was told that he was to wait for Samuel, who was supposed to come in 7 days. And Saul had some measure of faith, some measure of religiosity. And Saul waited those 7 days, but Samuel didn't arrive in time. And so at this point, Saul overstepped his bounds. The king played the role of the priest. The government played the role of the church. Saul decided, well, then I will just go and do that which was not allowable. He would, as the king, offer the sacrifice. He didn't have time to wait for Samuel. And so he did so. And it appears that just as he did so, Samuel arrived. Samuel looks at Saul and basically says, "What have you done?" At this point, it's always best that if God's prophet were to look at you and say, "What have you done?" the best thing to do is to repent, to call out for mercy, and to enjoy the fresh grace of our Father. But Saul showed that he had only an external form of religiosity, for instead of enjoying repentance, he made excuses. It's the people. They were running. It's you, the prophet. You didn't show up in time. It's the Philistines. Look how great they are, and they're coming at us. And I actually had no option. I had to cut corners. I had to compromise. I was almost forced to do this, it says in 1 Corinthians 13. Samuel looked at Saul and said, "You have done foolishly. You have disobeyed. You are going to be destroyed. And the Lord is going to give the kingdom to a better king, one that is a man after my own heart, one who will obey and do that which I have commanded." And at that point, the die was cast. The Philistines began to dominate. Saul and Jonathan, and Israel was going down. This is what Saul did, because this is what Saul saw. Saul saw the Philistines. He compromised. He lived by sight. He did not live by faith. He did not live by revelation. And it resulted in catastrophe. I can't tell you how many times that has been played out in Scripture. I can't tell you how many times it's been played out in my life, where I have received some sort of revelation from God. I've opened the Scriptures and it has been very clear what He has written there. I've heard preaching and it's been very clear what the will of God is. I've gone to prayer and there has been the still small voice helping me apply, convicting me, drawing me, moving me in a certain direction. Or I've had the counsel of friends, and in a multitude of counselors, there's wisdom. And the Lord has spoken and I have received His revelation and I have believed and I have set out saying, I will do what You have asked, Lord. But then the heat came. The trouble came. Do you remember what happened with Adam and Eve when they saw that the fruit was good? Do you remember what happened with Abraham when he saw that Sarah was not quick in getting pregnant and then saw Hagar that was presented to him? Do you remember what Aaron did when he saw that Moses was not coming down the mountain as quickly as he had hoped? And do you remember what the Israelites did when they saw that there were giants in the land? They saw, they disbelieved, they turned from the revelation they had received, they lacked faith, they were faithless, they compromised, they cut corners, and it was catastrophic. And this has happened in my life. This has probably happened in yours. I'm absolutely sure it would. And we deserve the wrath of God for being faithless and not trusting Him and not obeying that which He has already told us. But there's good news. God has another king. His name is Jesus Christ. He was a man after God's own heart, who loved the will of His Father, loved receiving revelation, and always believed, never doubted, never was overcome by fear or an ungodly pragmatism. He committed His life into His Father's hands and obeyed, and then He died. He was faithful to the end. Why? Because He was living a life of faithfulness for us who are unfaithful. And He was receiving a sentence of death for us who are unfaithful, that we could be clothed in His righteousness, filled with His Spirit, fruited with the gift of faith, that we from this point on can keep repenting and practicing our new identity in Christ. And so, Christian, what ought we to do? Let's not live by sight. Let's live by faith. Faith in what we have heard in God's Word. Faith in what His Spirit has revealed to us in our souls and as He has guided us. Faith in what we have heard from godly ministers and preachers and elders. Oh, that we would be people who would live by faith, not cut corners, not compromise, and obey, even when it looks disastrous. So I hear Christ calling me to get in the Word, to remind myself of what He says, to repent of my faithlessness and begin practicing faith, which He is granting to me. And when I do, as I do, as He does that through me, I will be more and more like that guy in Psalm chapter 1. Blessed is the man who meditates on God's law day and night. He's like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and in due season, He will prosper. Let's be faithful, even when we can't see what in the world God may be doing or why He is so slow in flexing His mighty arm.